Well, Pontius Pilate once asked Jesus, "What is truth?" And that question has been asked many times since then by many different people. But Jesus gives us the answer to that question in John 17, when he's praying to the Father and he's praying on behalf of his disciples. And he says, "Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." As we continue in our study of the spiritual disciplines, so far we've covered the discipline of prayer. Last week we looked at the discipline of fasting. Today we're going to look at the discipline of the Word of God, or the Scriptures, and how they're to be a vital part of our lives. And I'm pretty sure that most of you already know that the Word of God ought to be an important part of your lives as a Christian. But yet, it's good to be reminded, isn't it, of that truth, that we need the Word of God in our lives. So today I'd like to take that word, the letters W-O-R-D, and just use those letters to help us understand how important the Word of God is in our lives. First letter, W, will stand for welcome. Some of you may have outside of your doors a little mat, and on that mat may be the word welcome. It's kind of weird, isn't it? People rub their feet on it and wipe it. But anyway, it's there. And also, many years ago, there was an organization some of you may be familiar with. It's actually still in business, called the Welcome Wagon. And what was the whole focus of that organization? It was to make someone feel welcome, right? You may be new to the community. They would help you to get acclimated to the surroundings and whatnot, and they would make you feel welcome. What does it mean to welcome someone? I think a big part of welcoming people is to be open-hearted. It's to be open-hearted. Say, you know, I may not really know you that well right now, but I want to open my life to you, and I want to get to know you better. So too, as we think about the Scriptures, as we think about the Word of God, our hearts ought to be saying this: God, I welcome your Word. God, I open my heart to what your Word has to say. God, I may not know you that well right now, but I want to know you better. And so there's this heart that just wants to welcome the Lord. How many of you have ever heard of someone, or maybe known someone, who at one point in their life, they may have been a pretty friendly person? They may have welcomed people in their home and had guests over. But over time, as they grew a little older, they began to isolate themselves, and they couldn't stand it when people came to their door, and they became, as the movie talks about, grumpy old men or grumpy old woman. I don't think there's a movie yet about that. But they became that type of person that just didn't want people around. They weren't welcoming to people. And you know, we can do that in subtle ways with the Word of God in our lives. And we don't want to get there. We don't want our hearts to get to that place where we say, God, you know, your Word is just not welcome here. It's not welcome in my life. And so it's so good to sing songs like we did today. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. Word of God, speak. Would you fall down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty? That whole spirit of welcoming the Word of God. In our scripture reading today out of Psalm 119, an awesome chapter, longest chapter of the Bible. I'd encourage you to read it. So many verses there talk about the Word of God. Let's look at one. Psalm 119, verse 18. The psalmist says this: "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." And that is the attitude we ought to have every time we open our Bibles. We open the Word of God. Let me ask you, where is your heart at today? Where has your heart been lately? Is it soft? Is it warm? Is it welcoming to the Word of God? Or has it become maybe a little grumpy, maybe a little cold, maybe a little indifferent to the Word of God? If your heart has become cold and indifferent, then a good thing to do would be to just begin by confessing that to the Lord and acknowledging, God, my heart has gotten away from your Word. It's not as soft, it's not as open, it's not as welcoming as it once was. Ask God to help you to have that open, welcome heart. You may want to do this before you even begin to read your Bible, before you read one word. You may want to sing, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart so that I might see you." And as we open our hearts to the Lord, it will help us in this next area. The second letter we'll look at today is the letter O, and O will stand for obedience. A familiar passage that deals with obedience to the Word of God is James chapter 1. James 1, 22 through 25, a pretty familiar passage, I think, to many of us. James 1, 22. And through 25 says this: "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." James gives that great analogy there of a man who looks at himself in a mirror. And one thing to keep in mind is that in the first century, the mirrors were not like the mirrors that we have today. Now, the mirrors back then were made of polished brass or polished bronze. They were much dimmer. We have these nice glass, clear things. I mean, you look at yourself, you can really see everything on your face that may be there. You wouldn't have to, you know, gaze intently at the mirror like you would back in the day that James is speaking of here. Back then, if you wanted to get a real good close look at yourself, if you wanted to see the pimple on your chin, like I have right here, if you wanted to see that, you would have to gaze for a little bit and really look and look at yourself so you'd know what you really look like. And this is what James is saying here. Gaze, stare at the Word of God, not with some blank stare, but with an intense desire to know what it says. And not just to know what it says in your head, but so that you might obey it, so that you might live out what you read. I want you to pretend for a moment that one of the things on your bucket list, one of the things that you would like to do before you die, would be to parachute out of a plane or out of a helicopter. Does anybody have that on there? Tim? Okay, very good. Some of the young people do. When you get a little older, you may not have that on your bucket list anymore. But some of you, Kathy too, would like to parachute out of a plane. Let me ask you this. As the instructor is going through all the details of, let's say, you know, how you fasten that pack on your back, and at what point you're to pull that string, and maybe it's good to even know where that string is. I don't know what everybody talks about pulling a string when you jump out of the plane, but where that string actually is, as he's giving these instructions, are you going to be saying, "Oh, whatever, you know what, I'm just going to jump out of the plane. Yeah, might as well jump. Go ahead and jump. Yeah, just jump. It's all right." No. You're going to be listening intently to everything he says about that parachute. So too, when we open the Word of God, we need to have that same mindset. God, this is so much more important than even what to do with a parachute, how to operate the parachute. This is real life. This is everlasting life. These are eternal things. These are spiritual things here. That's the mindset we need. The result of hearing and reading ought to be obedience. That ought to be our mindset. Yet what often happens in our lives? Sometimes we may find ourselves simply discussing the Word of God. Or sometimes we may come across a great verse and say, "Yeah, man, what a great verse. That's a cool verse. I'm going to post that on Facebook because it's so cool." Now, there's nothing wrong, obviously, with discussing the Word of God. How many of you have grown in your understanding of the Word as you've talked about it amongst believers. There's nothing wrong with posting scripture on Facebook. In fact, I would encourage you, many of you, to do that. It's a good thing. Encourage scriptures on Facebook would be great. Much better than a lot of other stuff that is posted. But what's the point? We need to be focused. We need to be intense. We need to also ask ourselves, as I read the word, am I doing it? Am I doing it? It's good to discuss the scriptures and talk about it. But at the end of the day, we need to say, am I actually doing what I've just read? Many of you have heard the analogy of the shampoo bottle, right? And when you get that shampoo bottle, most of us probably have never read the instructions because we usually know what to do, right? But if you read the instructions on the shampoo bottle, it says something like this: wet your hair, then what? Apply the shampoo, rinse, and maybe repeat if you want to do it twice. I just do it once, but you may want to repeat. So too with the Word of God, we need to apply it. We need to obey it. Just like that shampoo doesn't do us any good if it's still in the bottle, so too the Word of God, if it's not applied, if it's not obeyed, we find that it does not profit us spiritually as well. The third letter we'll look at today is the letter R, and R will stand for renew. Another familiar verse I'd like us to look at comes out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let's look at that. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Wouldn't it be great if we could read through the Bible once, retain everything we read, and never have any outside thoughts influence our thinking or affect us in any way? Wouldn't that be great? Be great, but I don't know anyone who can live in that way. Why? Because we all need our minds renewed every day. We are hearing things from the world, from different places, things we read, even, quote, Christian sources at times that may not line up with the Word of God. And so we need to continually renew our minds so that we know what God's will is for our lives. And how do we renew our minds? What's the best way to renew our minds? Have a consistent diet or a steady intake of this right here, of the Word of God. We need this. Listen to what Job once said. Job 23, verse 12. He says, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Most of us, I think, look forward to that next meal. Especially when it's mealtime, right? If you've just had a big breakfast, some of us men went out for breakfast yesterday morning. I had a nice big breakfast. Tyson, you had a big breakfast. I mean, big old Belgian waffle. I had the bananas, the chocolate chip, the whipped cream, the, what else was there? Strawberry, something else? Yeah, nice big old thing. I had scrambled eggs and work. But after I walked out of the door that day, that morning, my thoughts were not what's for lunch. It just was not on my mind at all. However, by about 11:59, maybe it was a little later because I was chatting with Dennis. I'm thinking, man, he's talking. I'm getting hungry here. You know, it's 12:10, 12:20, 12:30. I was thinking food. I wanted that hunger satisfied. And what Job says is, hey, I hunger, I desire, I want this more than even my daily bread. And I would imagine Job would say, I want this every day. Every day, I hunger for it. I want it in my life. And we need that if we're going to have our minds renewed as well. Let me ask you, are you on a regular diet of the Word of God? Do you regularly intake the Scriptures every day? And if not, then know this, there's a lot of of helps out there. And I would say begin by just confessing it. Letting someone know, let me know, let another brother or sister in Christ that, hey, I just need some help consistently reading the Word of God. There are devotions, a gazillion in our day, that you can grab to help you. I know I've been using one for, I checked on my shelf, almost 20 years, the same publication. And what it does is it helps me to stay on track. I'd love to say, you know what, if I didn't have a devotion, I'd still be faithful in the Word of God every day. I don't know if I could say that. I'd like to think so, but I don't know. So it's a way that keeps me disciplined in the Word of God. It keeps me on the right track. And again, if you need help, please talk with me. Talk with another brother or sister, because the Word of God is so important to have a regular diet in your life. Fourth letter today is the letter D, and that will stand for depend. We need to depend upon the Word of God. We never want to get to that place where we no longer depend on it. You see, we can be very consistent. We can be very faithful. We can say, hey, I've been reading my Bible for 42 years. But yet in our hearts, we're not depending on it. We're not relying on the Word of God. Think about it. If even Jesus depended upon the Word of God, how much more so should we, who are fallen creatures and stained by sin, how much more so should we depend upon the Word of God? Do you remember what Jesus said when he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan? Remember one of the things he said? He said, man does not live, let's look at that, Matthew 4:4. Matthew says, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in that whole temptation experience that Jesus went through with the devil, he quoted Deuteronomy to the devil. He kept quoting scripture to the devil. If Jesus depended upon it, if Jesus relied on it, how much more so do you and I need to depend upon the Word of God? And if we're not careful, let me say that again, if we are not careful, the longer we are Christians, the more apt we might become looking like the typical Pharisee in Jesus' day. Why do I say that? Because the Pharisees, I believe, were consistent in the Word of God. I believe the Pharisees had an understanding, or a knowledge, I should say, of much of the Scriptures. You know what the Pharisees probably had? They probably had their quiet time. They also memorized much of the Scriptures. So where did they fall short? Let's look at what Jesus says in John chapter 5, verses 39 through 40. Jesus here speaking really to the Jews in general who had opposed him. But certainly, I think you can put the Pharisees in this group when he's speaking here. He says, you diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Did the Pharisees search out the Scriptures? It seems that way according to Christ. If you and I were in a Scripture memory contest with the Pharisees, how do you think we'd fare? I think they may do pretty well against us. So where did they fall short? What was their issue? Their main issue was this. It was self-righteousness. It was trusting in themselves. And so many of the parables that Jesus speaks about, when he brings up the Pharisee, he says those who were confident in their own self-righteousness, he spoke this parable. Self-reliance, self-dependence, self-confidence, all these things was what made up the Pharisee. And so they missed their need of Jesus Christ because they trusted in their own righteousness. Now, certainly we should have a knowledge of the Scriptures. We should search the scriptures. My prayer is that you would be like the Bereans. Remember them who searched the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was really true. Those are all good things to do. But never rest in your own righteousness. Never rest in that. Rest in the righteousness of Christ. We need to make sure our motive for searching the scriptures to know what it says is not self-reliance and self-glorification. Sadly, in our day, there are many popular, quote, teachers who teach the scriptures from a very self-centered perspective, so that it's really all about them and all about you. They will make themselves feel really good, and they'll make others feel really good. And so there's a really feel-good message, but yet when you hear that week after week, that can be devastating to people. Why? Because if there is a continual dependence upon self, then we're not relying on Christ. Remember what Jesus said the foundation of a disciple was? To deny who? Deny who? Deny yourself. To deny yourself and carry your cross and come follow me. You see, the teachings of Christ, they show us how to deny ourselves and how to give all the glory to God. When something good happens in your life, are the first two words out of your mouth, praise God? It's a good question we all need to ask ourselves. God, I give you thanks. God, I give you glory for what you've done. As we look at the importance of the Word of God in our lives today, I want to close by just reminding you, or maybe for some who've never heard, the central message in the Word of God is the gospel. It is all about Jesus Christ, and the gospel begins really in the book of Genesis. When we read in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve sinned, they rebelled against God, they disobeyed God, and they were cast out of that garden because of their sin. And we have inherited a sin nature from our parents, Adam and Eve. And so by nature, we are sinners. And throughout the Old Testament, God's people have offered up sacrifices as an atonement for sin. But you know what? None of those sacrifices fully satisfied God. They were like temporary coverings for the people, until he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect, sinless life and eventually became that sacrifice, he laid down his life. Why? So that we would not endure that punishment that we deserve. Jesus would take it for us. And the gospel is this, that you can be forgiven, you can be saved and cleansed of all of your sin, past, present, future, if you would humble yourself and totally believe in Jesus Christ and trust in him as your Lord and Savior, as the one who came to forgive and cleanse you. And when you put your faith and hope in Jesus Christ, you now have really an understanding of the Word of God, what Jesus came to do. And once you do that, it's a journey of knowing more about him. As we saw the kids today, many of them are just young in the faith, but they're learning, they're growing as they continue to be fed the Word of God. We pray that they'd be strengthened, that they would stay the course, that they would not veer, that be faithful to God, and they'd continue to cling to his Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your Word today. We acknowledge that it is flawless, it is perfect, it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for using human sinful vessels to lay out, to speak everything that we need to know concerning Christ, concerning salvation, how to be saved. It's all there. And so, God, we're so thankful for your message that we have before us. God, I pray that we would proclaim that salvation day after day to those around us. God, help us to be a people who are grounded in your word, who see the value of your word, who know that we can't really go a day without it. It can be devastating spiritually, so Lord, help us to yearn for it as Job did, to hunger for it, to thirst for it. And God, I pray that you would help us also to deny ourselves, to live those lives that simply want to see you glorified in and through us. And Lord, we ask for your Spirit to help us in that. And give us wisdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.